Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The 1300 Years' War by Robert Manock is being called a masterful work of historical research. Very thorough, very well done, and so important, everyone needs to see this and understand what's going on. The book is in two volumes, describes the evolution of Judeo-Christianity and Islam, and the 1300 years of warfare between them. Robert is a board-certified physician specializing in internal medicine, a minor in history from Stanford University, a combat-experienced Marine officer. Robert combines a passion for medicine with a keen interest in historical events. Over the years, Robert has penned several notable books, including the two-volume The 1300 Years' War, and Robert Manock joins us on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It is such an important topic, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Let's start with your interest in historical events. Where did this begin for you, this fascination with history and maybe learning lessons from that history?
It started in high school, actually. I went to a very good New England prep school, and history was well taught there, and I picked up interest there. My mother also was an avid reader of history, especially Civil War history, and so I had it coming from both family and school.
You know, it's interesting in all of the research, the book comes alive as you're talking about this this time in history. Let's set that stage for this time in history. What time frame are we talking about here?
Well, the 1300 years begins approximately 1300 years ago, 1350 or so. And it starts really with the death of Muhammad. And then all of the warfare that began in the Middle East and then eventually spread into Europe and into Southeast Asia. And we're, in fact, we're still fighting it. And so this is why I entitled this 1300 Years' War, because that's how long it's been going on.
Well, it's interesting. This has been reignited during the years, hasn't it been?
It has. And it flares up throughout history for the past 1300 years. you see it especially in Central European history, where warfare has been fairly common in the past 1300 years. Not all of it, of course, is related to this, but a great deal of it is.
The book is The 1300 Years' War by Robert Manock, M-A-D-D-O-C-K. The book available wherever books are sold. Information and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This is now in two volumes. Explain how you went about it. Did you start off with two volumes, or was the information so insightful that you found that it sort of required two volumes?
Well, the latter is probably the better the better way to put it, because it has come out in a single volume. I find the two-volume edition is a lot easier to handle. When you start getting into big books, then you have trouble with turning the pages and on. Whereas if you can put it in a couple smaller books, they're easier to handle.
In the book, the introduction, you say this volume makes comparisons between Christianity and Islam and follows their historical evolution and wars between them. It's an objective study of Islam. Talk a little bit about the research. What all went into this? What type of time frame did it take on your part to do this research to be able to put this book together, The 1300 Years' War?
Well, I actually wrote another book outlining this, and it's called The Quran Index and Topical Guide and to Islamic Law. And it's also available, but It's actually the research behind the 1300 Years' War, and in and of itself, it's about the same size as the 1300 Years' War. So they're and it just covers the research aspects of this.
So the research was done. This is the result of that, the 1300 Years' War by Robert Maddock. If you go to Robert Maddock and look up this book, for example, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, click on the author's name and you will see all of the other books there. So you'll be able to get information on Robert's other books as well. Let's talk about what you were able to find. Reviews talking about fresh insights. Basically, your medical military background adds unusual depth and interest and a different perspective on this. Were you able to find fresh insights as you were doing this research and telling this story?
Well, the research actually began before I was even interested in writing the book. It began when I was in the Marine Corps and was stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and from there I heard of a trip that was being planned by the Marine Corps to go into the Mediterranean. Being single and having nothing else much better to do, I decided this might be kind of fun. And so I got a transfer into the artillery unit that was going to make that journey. And so for about, I would say at least a week, I spent with an artillery forward observing team what the Bible would term Corinth. It was about 20 miles south of the Black Sea and about 10 miles north of the Mediterranean Sea on a hillside. And I got a chance to see what amounted to ancient Corinth. And it wasn't much. It was a couple of farmers, and that was about it. And they, of course, had their animals out there and so on, but not much of anything else was going on. And we sat up there for about a week participating in an operation called Operation Deepwater, and it was for NATO. And when it was over, they airlifted us off of that mountainside, and I've never been back. But I found recently that I was in Corinth, or part of it.
Interesting. Yes.
And so, at any rate, that's how it all started. And I then let's see. I have also written another book, Operation Wappen, A War That Never Was. Well, the operation I was in was Operation Wappen, and and that, of course, was planned as a practice operation. So it was a war that never was.
Yes,
that's why I call it that. And it was turned out to be fairly interesting. And when I started doing research on it, I actually made a trip to the Eisenhower Library to see if I could find out anything about Operation Wappen. I wasn't able to, even though President Eisenhower called the whole thing off approximately 5 hours before a scheduled landing in Syria.
Wow.
And the other thing that was interesting, I attended the pre-invasion briefing. I was the most junior officer at that briefing. And so I kind of stood with my back against the wall listening to what was going on.
Yes.
And finally, since I was a forward observer for the Marine detachment that was going to make the landing and nobody had discussed this, I asked a question. And of course, if you're in a meeting like this, mostly with majors, lieutenant colonels, and colonels, and you're a second lieutenant, you kind of stand out like a sore thumb. And so I finally put up my hand and said, sir, addressing the colonel who was in charge of the meeting, what are we going to shoot at them? He hadn't mentioned any of the ammunition that was available or what we were going to use for ammo. And here I am, the forward observer, and I'm supposed to be directing the fire on this stuff. And I wanted to know what kind of artillery we were going to be using. And we were aboard the USS Albany at the time for that meeting, which was a heavy cruiser with 10-inch guns. And this was the ammunition that I was going to be directing fire on. But at any rate, the colonel at the meeting, Colonel Schaffner was his name, looked at me and he pointed out the pointed through the portholes that were facing the stern of the ship, and he said, "Lieutenant, you see the bird on the hook back there?" He was referring to the seaplane that was hanging from a hook off the stern of the cruiser. And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, tomorrow morning at 0500 hours, you're going to be aboard that bird, and you and the pilot are going to fly over the Syrian coast. You're going to get the map coordinates of the center of the Syrian army, and then you're going to get the hell out of there." And I said, "Yes, sir, but, sir, what are we going to shoot at him?" About that time, the poor Colonel Schaffner began to shuffle a little bit, and you could detect a really electricity in that room.
Yes.
Of all of those other colonels and light colonels and captains and so on. And here I am, the second lieutenant, and I've just asked the worst question I could have possibly thought up, according to these people. And he said, he answered the question this way: "We've got 50 nukes in the hold." In other words, 50 nuclear shells.
Yes.
That's what we were going to shoot at these people.
Wow.
And,
well, there
was... that's why you find on, there's a book I've written, Operation Wappen, a War That Never Was. You will find an atomic blast on the front cover of that book.
That's another
because
incredible
that
story.
That was the ammunition.
That's hard to believe.
Fortunately, the following morning, I woke up at about 5 o'clock in the morning intending to catch the pilot boat back out to the cruiser so I could get aboard that bird hanging from the stern of the ship. And I woke up at 7 o'clock. I was supposed to be awakened at 5 in the morning. And I was aghast. No one had wakened me.
Oh.
And but I could feel the ship moving, so I jumped out of the rack. The officer's country on a troop ship like the Olmsted, which is the one I was on, is actually a couple of decks above the main deck, and so if you open the hatchway, you can get a pretty good view of the stern of the ship and everything going alongside of it. And so I popped the hatch open, and we were headed basically flank speed, 30 miles an hour or so. We were headed west, away from Syria, where we were supposed to make landing.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, we were making tracks. We were moving so fast that within 30 hours we were in Sicily. That's halfway back across the Mediterranean.
Wow.
It's over 500 miles. So we were doing 30 plus miles an hour. We were really moving.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. And so I thought to myself, well, I'm glad somebody called this lash up off and went back to bed and didn't think any more about it until I got to Sicily. And so at any rate, that was all that I was worried about at that point. And we got home about three or four weeks later. Got back to Camp Lejeune and finished up the rest of my term there. And I was with an artillery battery and went home and back to school. And so that was the extent of my brush with some action.
Boy, that's for sure.
Fortunately, didn't happen.
Well, yes, and that book is available at, I'm sure, Amazon. Again, when you go to Robert Maddock, M-A-D-D-O-C-K, and looking up the 1300 Years War, you just click on the author, you'll be able to get information on that book as well. Several fascinating books there in addition to this book, the 1300 Years War.
They're very nicely illustrated by my wife, by the way. She's a Finn, and her maiden name is Raija Penkkonen. And you'll see that it's illustrated by Raija Penkkonen.
Interesting.
And she's my wife, and so the covers and all of the illustrations inside, they're over 120 pictures in the 1300 Years War that she did with pen and ink and sometimes pencil.
Well, all those illustrations.
So at any rate,
yeah, those illustrations.
I've got to give her some good credit.
Well,
I did the maps, but she did all of the illustrations of people.
And it helps bring the story alive. It's the 1300 Years War. Robert Maddock. Time is going by so quickly. I want to talk about some of the thoughts that we have, impressions we have of Islam, and see from your perspective whether these are misconceptions or whether these are accurate. We hear so often the Quran advocates destruction of unbelievers, infidels, and Islamic backsliders. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. Islam has a pretty bloody history, and it goes back 1500 years or 1300 years, which is why I call it the 1300 Years War. And it's true, but it's not too much different from a lot of countries' histories. And so you can't blame Islam, for example, for their warfare. They were constantly being challenged by many different religious groups, including certain sects of Islam. So it's just the way the world is.
Well, yes, and you put all of it in perspective in your book, 1300 Years War. Another thought that we have out there that we keep hearing is they will not quit until Sharia law governs the entire world. That's something as Americans
something
we need to be aware of.
Some Islamic people believe that, but not all. And it's dangerous to draw general conclusions about almost any group of people based on selected facts, for example. And there are some there are facts that are backing this, but we have to understand that people are pretty much alike, that most of us don't like warfare. I don't care where you're from.
Yes.
That's dangerous stuff, and you're breaking things and killing people, and that's no fun for anybody.
It's interesting. Are there enough similarities, things that we might have in common or be able to acknowledge the other side and coexist? Are there enough of those that we can put it in, that we can stop 1300 years of warfare?
Well, I don't think so, because It's likely to continue on. The nature of of the various civilizations involved here. We're talking about Western civilization versus a very strong part of Middle Eastern civilization.
Yes.
And it's not likely to quit anytime soon.
The book is The 1300 Years War by Robert Maddock. A couple minutes left in the program. Another thought that's out there, that common impression is that fanciful notion that the virgins are awaiting Muslim men. Is there truth to that? Do they believe
well,
that?
Yes and no. Again, there are certain sects in Islam that believe these things, but if you were to line up a bunch of Islamic men and ask them that question, that you'd probably get a mixed answer. They have a morality, you know, that's just as strong as ours.
Yes,
it's different, but they do have a morality, and it's unfair, I think, to blame all of Islam for the thoughts of a few, thoughts of a major section thereof.
Yes,
it is a major section, but it's not everybody.
Yeah, we need to stop generalizing, I guess. And you just said that, and you go into great detail in the book. And why is this book so important, do you think? What do you hope the takeaway is as people read The 1300 Years War? What do you hope we learn from this history and maybe able to carry over into to modern times?
Well, this when history is taught in most countries, it's taught from the standpoint of the people living in that country.
Yes.
And I know this because I've gone through Finnish history pretty carefully with my wife, and it's the same thing there. If you start reading Finnish history, for example, about the Winter War, which I highly recommend people read about that war, because it was the one in which they featured ski troops and all the rest of that, and it was fought against horrific odds. The Finns faced off the Russians. If you can imagine this, small country like Finland,
yes,
facing off against Russia, and interestingly enough, beating the you know what out of them.
Yes,
they just beat them to pieces. And in fact, they were so badly beaten that many of the prisoners of war that the Finns had taken didn't want to go back to Russia.
Mm.
They were afraid to, because they were afraid they'd be killed.
Yep. Yes.
For surrendering, and they had no choice actually in their surrendering. The only other choice was death, and so you know it. When you look at this from the standpoint of one side, you can kind of sometimes get a distorted view, even though you get an accurate view from that side.
Oh, yes, there's so much information in 1300 Years War by Robert Maddock, Maddock. You do such an excellent job of bringing history to life and giving us a fresh perspective, some fresh insights. What are you working on now? Is there another book that you're working on?
No, not right at this moment. I'm now 89 years old. And I'm just trying to enjoy life.
A youthful 89. You certainly you sound like you're 59 and enthusiastic and passionate.
Well, you're too kind.
And ready to go again. So I hope that you do have another book. But we will enjoy the ones that you have written. This book, The 1300 Years War by Robert Maddock, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Click on, get information on Robert's other books as well. Robert, the time has gone by so quickly. Great stories, great information you've shared with us on the program today. Thank you for being with us.
Well, you're welcome, and it's been a pleasure.
It's been fun, and hopefully we can do this again. And I'd like to thank Olympus Storyhouse for They're putting us together, Robert, making them available on the program today, OlympusStoryHouse.com. You're listening to This Week in America, a book we're talking about, The 1300 Years War by Robert Maddock. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.